Welcome to Nahyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will complete our study of the Book of Qohelet. Our parak, Perek Yudbet, the final chapter in the Book of Qohelet, picks up directly from the last parak's advice to the young. The previous chapter ended with removing anger from your heart, putting away harm from your flesh, because youth is fleeting. And now, uzachor et barecha, remember your creator, while you still have energy, passion, the capacity to act. Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah, before the evil days come, the days when your body breaks down, when you feel broken, v'igiyu shanim asher tomar ein li bahem chafetz, when you say, I have no pleasure in them anymore. This actually continues Perek Yud Aleph's theme. Youth is temporary, so use it wisely. But now Shlomo will paint a picture of what those evil days look like. Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh va-or va-yareach va-kochavim. The sun darkens, the moon, the stars, techshach, they grow dark. This is aging as the dimming of light. Your vision fails, the world literally gets darker. But notice something, v'shavu ha-avim achar ha-gashem, and the clouds return after the rain. Clouds returning after rain. Where have we heard this language before? This is the language of the mabul, the flood. In Breishit, when Hashem opens Arubot Hashemayim, the windows of heaven, to bring rain for 40 days. Clouds and rain, darkness covering the world. The aging process is being described with flood imagery, as if there's an inexorable force bringing everything to its end, just as the flood brought the world to its end. The psukim continue with a series of metaphors for bodily decline. B'yom she'yazu shomrei habayit. On the day that the guardians of the house, your arms and hands, they start to tremble. Anshei hachayil, the strong men. Your legs, heat of two, they'll become bent, crooked. Can't hold you up anymore. Uvatlu hatochanot, and the grinders cease. Kimiyatu, because there are few. The grinders, your teeth, they cease working because there's few. They're gone. V'chashchu haro'ot barubot, and those who look through the windows grow dark. That word barubot, windows. Arubot is also the word used in the flood story. Arubot Hashemayim, the windows of heaven that open to bring the deluge. Here, the windows, your eyes, these storehouses of light through which you see the world, they darken. The Noach language continues through these verses. The world is ending, not the whole world this time, just the world of this one person's body. The Sugrud Latayim, your lips close, no more teeth to chew. V'yakum l'kol hatzipor. And at the sound of a bird, you wake up. You're a light sleeper now. Any little sound disturbs you. And Hatzipur, the bird, that's also Noach imagery. The bird brings news of renewal, of life after the flood. But here, you just hear birds and you can't sleep. The metaphors pile up. Fear of heights. White hair like an almond tree in bloom. Desire fading. And then, Ki holech ha'adam el beit olamo. A man goes to his eternal home. Death, the grave. And those who mourn walk around the marketplace, because nothing lasts forever. Ad asher lo yuratek chevel hakesef, because the silver cord is snapped. V'tarutz kulat hazahav, and the golden bowl is broken. V'tishaver kad al hamabua, and the jar is shattered at the fountain. V'narotz hagalgal al habor, and the wheel broken at the cistern. The spine, chevel hakesef, the silver cord snaps, the skull, kulat hazahav. The golden bowl breaks. Everything decomposes. El habor, into the grave. V'yashov ha'afar al ha'aretz, k'shahaya. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. V'aruach tashuv el ha'okim asher natana. And the spirit returns to Hashem, to God who gave it. Here's the key phrase. V'yashov ha'afar al ha'aretz, k'shahaya. The dust returns to the earth as it was. How was man created? In Perek Bet and Breishit, Hashem formed man, me'afar min ha'adama, from dust of the ground. And now in death, the dust returns. V'aruch tashuv el Elokim asher natana, and the spirit returns to Hashem who gave it. How did man become a living being? V'yipach ba'apav nishma chayim. Hashem breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And now that breath, that spirit, returns to its source. Now we're back to creation. Back at the beginning. The body decomposes, returns to earth. The spirit returns to Hashem. And Pasuk Chet, Hevel Havalim, Amar Kohelet, Hakol Hevel. Hevel Havalim, Kohelet says, all is Hevel. We've heard this before. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Bet. The exact same words. Hevel Havalim, Hakol Hevel. Multiple occurrences of the word Hevel, just like in the opening. And remember what we said about that word? Hevel is a name. Adam's son, murdered by his brother. The first death, the first great tragedy. The one whose very name meant vapor, breath, temporary. After describing how dust returns to earth and breath returns to Hashem, we hear again, everything is Hevel. Everything is temporary, like Hevel was. Everything returns to its source. Life is fleeting, like vapor, like breath. The book has come full circle. In Pasuk Tet, V'yoter sh'haya kohelet chacham, od limad da'at et ha'am. And besides being wise, Kohelet also taught da'at to the people. Wait, something just shifted. We're no longer hearing Kohelet speak in first person. Someone is talking about him in third person. The narrator who opened the book, Divrei Kohelet, the words of Kohelet, son of David, has returned. And notice what the narrator emphasizes. V'yoter sh'haya Kohelet chacham. More than Kohelet was wise, od limad da'at et ha'am. He also taught knowledge, da'at, to the people. Da'at, knowledge. That word should make our ears perk up. Where have we heard about da'at in the Torah? Eitz hada'at tovara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam ate from the tree to gain knowledge that was meant for Hashem, not for humans. And that's where death entered the world. That's the original mistake, grasping for da'at that we weren't supposed to have. But here, Kohelet limed da'at et ha'am, taught da'at to the people. He shared knowledge. He didn't hoard it. He didn't try to use it to be like Hashem. He dispensed it. He gave it away. He pondered and searched out and arranged many proverbs. Mishalim, proverbs, riddles, not direct teaching like, here, this is what you need to know, but riddles that make you think, make you work for understanding. There's humility in that approach. Teaching through Mishalim respects the fact that you never really know everything. The riddle has incompleteness built in. And now in Pasuk Yod, Bikesh Kohelet limso divrei chafetz. Kohelet sought to find words of delight. This seems to connect us back to Perek Gimel, doesn't it? L'kol zman b'eit l'chol chafetz. For everything, there is a season and a time for every chafetz, every matter, every desire. Kohelet tried to find the ultimate chafetz, the ultimate answer, the thing that would give life meaning. And maybe he didn't find it. Not a single perfect formula. But v'chatuv yosher divrei emet. But he wrote straight words of truth. Even if he couldn't find the perfect answer, he told the truth. He wrote honestly about what he discovered, that life is uncertain, that you can't control outcomes, that you need to find joy despite mortality, that you should be generous and work with passion and remember your Creator. Sometimes telling the truth is more valuable than finding the perfect answer. And now as we continue in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Divrei Chachamim Kadarvonot, the words of the wise are like cattle prods. These words of wisdom aren't just nice ideas. They poke you. They prod you forward. They make you uncomfortable sometimes. That's their job. Uchemasmerot netuim, and like nails planted. Nails aren't planted. Nails are hammered. But Shlomo uses netuim, planted. Why? Because this echoes the garden. What was Nata planted in Breshit? V'yita Hashem Elokim gan ve'edem neketem. Hashem planted a garden. In Gan Eden, Hashem planted trees, including the Eitz Hadaat, the tree of knowledge. Here, Kohelet and other wise people plant their version, Masmirot, nails of wisdom, human-made objects, not organic trees, but planted in the earth nonetheless. These are humanity's version of knowledge trees, wisdom that we can share with each other. Baalei Asufot, masters of assemblies, many wise people, Nitnu miro'e echad, but they're all given from one shepherd. And of course, from Hashem. But here's something else hiding in the words Masmirot. What was man's job in the garden? Le'avda u'lishomra, to work it and to guard it. The root of the word masmiro, the way it's written, is actually shin mem resh. These nails are shmurot, perhaps, things that are guarded. When Kohelet plants these nails of wisdom, he is guarding. He's being shomer. He's being a guardian. He's doing what Adam was supposed to do, to be shomer, to be the keeper of the Eitz Hadas, guard it properly, not eat from it improperly, not grasp for knowledge that belongs to Hashem. Kohelet is coming back to guard the garden, so to speak, to plant wisdom properly, to be shomer of da'at in the way Adam should have been. The yoter mehema b'ni, and further my son, he warned, he's a her asot sfarim harbe, be warned of making many books. In kates, there's no end. V'lahag harbe yigiat basar, and much study is in the weariness of that flesh. And now comes the guarding part. If la'avod is to cultivate, to plant, then lishmor is also to weed, to keep out what doesn't belong. Shlomo warns in Pasuk Yudbet, V'yoter mehema b'ni hizaher. Be careful, be warned, my son. Asot sfarim harbe, of making many books. Ein kates, because there's no end. You can pursue knowledge endlessly. V'lahag harbe yigiat basar. Too much study wearies the flesh. This is the warning. Don't let your garden become overgrown. Don't pursue every kind of knowledge indiscriminately. Not all wisdom is helpful. Some of it is like weeds that choke out what actually matters. Focus on the wisdom that helps you live well in this uncertain world, the wisdom that teaches you humility, that reminds you that you're not Hashem, that you won't have all the answers. Don't get lost chasing after godly knowledge you can never possess. This is Shamor, Shmira, guarding. Kohelet is guarding the garden by telling you what knowledge to weed out. And finally, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, Sof Davar, the end of the matter. Everything has been heard. Everything is Nishma. Where have we heard that word at a crucial moment in the Torah? Right after Adam ate from the Eitz HaDa'at. What happened? Vayishma'u et kol Hashem Elokim Yitalech Bagan. Adam and Chava heard the voice of Hashem walking in the garden. They heard Hashem coming. And what do? They hid. And when Hashem found them, Adam said, Kol chashamati bagan va'ira. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was yarei, I was afraid. But why was he afraid? He explains, Ki irom anochi, because I was naked. He wasn't afraid of Hashem. He was afraid of his own vulnerability, his own nakedness. He was afraid because he just realized that even with the knowledge from the tree, he was still just a fragile human being. And then what did Hashem ask? Hamin ha'etz asher tziviticha levilti achol mimenu achalta? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Three elements. Hearing Hashem, being afraid, and the mitzvah that was transgressed. And now, at the end of Kohelet, we have those same three elements, but transformed. Hakol nishma, everything is heard when you hear Hashem. Et Elokim yirah, fear Hashem, not your own vulnerability, not your own nakedness, fear Hashem himself. Be yarei, be in awe of him. Ve'ed mitzvotav shemor, and keep his commandments. This time, don't transgress. This time, be shomer, guard them. Ki zeh kol ha'adam, for this is the whole of man. This is what ha'adam, what Adam, what humanity is supposed to do. This is the correction of Gan Eden. Ki et kol ma'aseh Elokim yavi b'mishpat al kol ne'elam. Hashem will judge al kol ne'elam over everything that's hidden. Really, the main theme of Kohelet is accepting that there are ne'elamot, hidden things, things you don't know, things you can't control. Don't try to unhide what should remain hidden. Don't grasp for knowledge that belongs to Hashem alone. Accept that some things are ne'elam, concealed, and that's how it should be. Im tov ve'im ra, whether good or evil. And this brings us back to Perek Gimel. Remember Kohelet struggled with tov v'ra, good and evil? How everything has its time, how values shift. You can't always know what's truly tov and what's truly ra. That knowledge belongs to Hashem. The Eitz HaDa'at tov ra promised to give that knowledge, but humans can't fully have it. We have to live with uncertainty about some things. So how do you live in a world of uncertainty where you can't know everything, where nothing lasts, where life often seems unfair, you hear Hashem's voice, you fear him, not in terror, but in awe. You keep his commandments. You don't try to be Hashem. You don't grasp for godly knowledge. You accept your human limitations. But that's still abstract. What does this actually look like in daily life? Here's Kohelet's answer, woven throughout the Sefer. Meaning in life comes from two sources, achievement and relationship. And Kohelet shows us how to approach both. The first half of Kohelet, all those experiments in chapters 1 through 6, Aleph through Vav, taught us that achievement as an ultimate goal leads to despair. You can't achieve your way to meaning. Why? Because of those twin obstacles that we pointed out. Nothing lasts and life is unfair. No matter what you build, it doesn't endure. No matter how much wisdom you gain, you can't eliminate injustice. But here's the wisdom. Don't abandon achievement. Embrace it differently. Work with passion. Build your projects. Plant your gardens. Not because they'll last forever. They won't. Not because you can control the outcome. You can't. But because the act of creating, of being oseh, a maker, a worker, is part of being faithfully human. This is what it means to be oveid, to work, to serve, to cultivate. Focus on the process of achievement, not the end goal. Find joy in the daily work itself. This is what Kohelet kept returning to. Simcha in your amal. Take joy in your labor, in the doing itself. But achievement alone isn't enough. That's what Perek Zayin, chapter 7, revealed with its breakthrough statement. Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. Better is a name than precious oil. Better is a Shem Tov, a good reputation, the way others know you, the relationships you built, than the commodity, no matter how valuable. Why does Shem Tov matter more? Because relationships somehow transcend death itself. Think about it. When you build a Shem Tov, you're creating bonds of love and trust that exist even when you're not physically present. The way people remember you, the love you've given that continues to ripple through their lives, these outlast mortality. This is the same kind of love that lets you relate to Hashem, who is not in this world. The same kind of love that lets you maintain connection with those who've passed to the next world. Love across boundaries. Love that isn't limited by physical presence. This is why we educate children primarily in achievement, how to learn, how to build a profession, how to master skills, and hope that relationships just happen at recess. But Kohelet is telling us, you've got it backwards. Relationships are the main curriculum. Achievement is important, but it's what you build around relationships, not the other way around. So here's how they work in tandem. Pursue achievement passionately, but as process, not as ultimate goal. And while you're engaged in the process, while you're working, creating, building, that's where you develop relationships. That's where you build your Shem Tov. You can't just have relationships without ever doing anything. Achievement is a fact of life. It's necessary. But you also can't achieve your way to meaning without relationships. They need each other. And then there's this. Take joy in simple pleasures, but, and this is subtle, embrace that joy as hevel, not despite being hevel. Throughout the book, Kohelet kept circling back to this limited, modest joy, bread and wine, and the companionship of a beloved. Simple pleasures, but in the early Prakim, he rejected them as insufficient. Now we understand why he comes back to them differently. When you look at flowers, take real delight in them. But don't pretend they're more than they are. Accept that the flowers are hevel, temporary, fleeting. If you expect them to provide ultimate meaning, to be something lasting and perfect, they'll disappoint you every time. But if you don't have that expectation, if you understand that these are gifts Hashem gives you precisely because life is hard and temporary, then your joy in them can actually be fuller. You're not crushed when the wine runs out, when the flowers wilt, when the moment passes, because you never asked them to be eternal. You just receive them gratefully for what they are, temporary gifts that make a temporary life worth living. Not meaning itself, but the texture of a full life within which meaning can grow. This is the wisdom of the wisest of all men, permission to take joy within proper bounds while keeping it in its proper place. So here's the answer to living in an uncertain world. Fear Hashem and keep His mitzvot. That's the foundation, the correction of the garden. But practically day to day, build a Shem Tov through relationships. That's where meaning that transcends death comes from. Work passionately at your achievements, but hold them lightly. Enjoy the process, not the outcome. Take joy in the simple temporary gifts Hashem gives you, embracing them as hevel, rather than demanding they be eternal. And do all of this while accepting the ne'elamot, the hidden things, the uncertainties. Don't try to eliminate what you can't control. Don't grasp for godly knowledge you'll never possess. Be faithfully, fully human. Plant your nails of wisdom. Guard the garden properly this time. Share your knowledge rather than hoarding it. Teach through riddles that respect mystery. Weed out the pursuit of ultimate answers you can never have. This is how you make peace with mortality. This is how you find fullness, even in a fleeting world. The book that began with Hevel Havalim ends with the same words. Everything is Hevel, still temporary. But that's not despair. It's acceptance. It's the wisdom to live fully in a fleeting world, to find meaning not in permanence, but in how we walk through impermanence. From Adam's grief back to Adam's garden, from the question to the answer, from eating from the tree to guarding it properly, from hiding in fear to standing in awe, from grasping for the mysterious, godly knowledge to accepting human wisdom, from trying to be Hashem to being faithfully human. The circle is complete. Today's study is dedicated by Helen and Moshe Sassover in memory of their beloved father and grandfather, Ted Ordon, Mordechai Ben Ephraim, and Miriam Golda, in commemoration of his 10th Yahrzeit. His family is forever grateful for his devotion to family, vision, courage, and optimism. May the merit of our collective learning elevate his neshama and bring unity and peace to Klal Yisrael. Thank you for the opportunity to study together.